If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Welcome back, Birds 365. Mark Barzetta, John McMullen with you and joining us. And I've never, Chris, this is the first, I've never had someone say hi to us in our private chat before we've brought him on. So now officially, Chris, hello, how are you?
Hey, Mark, how you doing? Hey, John, how you guys doing? It's fun to be on here. I'm enjoying the day already. How you guys doing today?
Doing well. It got a little bit more exciting. The quarterback is going to talk later this morning, Chris. What do you want to ask Jalen first? You want to talk about Kellen Moore and Doug Nussmeier, or you want to talk about his buddy Devontae Smith getting $25 million? Do you want to talk about his offseason work? Where's Chris Franklin want to go first?
How do you divvy up those targets and decide to throw and keep everybody happy in this offense now? Because that's a really tough thing when you're looking
at it. We were just talking about it, Chris.
Oh, gosh. Like, it's tough because you got to keep – not only do you got to keep the outside guy, you got to keep Dallas Goedert happy. You got to make sure Kwon gets his touches. Which, like, how do you – like, to be a quarterback, I know you got to do the team offense in the best position possible and all that stuff. But how do you keep everybody happy? That's where – I'm going to use a Sirianiism, which I got to stop doing. But yeah, the whole like, you got to keep, it's about the connections and everything. But nah, you got to make sure you do all that stuff.
Stop talking about connections. Football IQ.
Got to be accountability. Yeah.
You know, Chris, I got an answer for that. And I'm not going to put words in your mouth, John's mouth, or Jalen Hurts. But how do you keep everybody happy? I'll tell you. Win.
Yeah.
And put up a lot of points. No, not just win, because even if you win, I know it's a great deodorant for everybody else.
You got to win and have a top three offense.
Yeah, win and have a top three offense, because that's how you'll keep everybody happy. And here's the one thing. Here's why I'm not concerned about the touches. I'm more concerned about the wins. The Eagles have gotten touches. They've had running backs, even if not of Saquon Barkley's ilk, get his touches. They've had wide receivers already here, and the same wide receivers that'll be here, at least the two main targets, they've gotten their touches. When Dallas Goedert is healthy, he has gotten his touches. For me, sharing the football won't be the problem. It's that if somebody is getting, not a little bit, because I think they're a good enough core where a little bit won't bother, but if somebody is getting a lot more of the glory, that's where a problem would happen. But the touches, I think, will come. But when you come and talk about the Eagles' actual overall production, if everyone has a big piece of that huge pie, that's how I think you keep everybody happy.
I think that's a big thing, and you mentioned top three. I think they're going to need that, especially the defense. There's still need some questions on that too, so you really have to make sure that they're putting up that 27-30 a game, because we've seen this scheme beforehand. Even though you got the guy who designed it, there's could be holes, and when it comes to passing off the coverage responsibility, stuff like that. So you really do need this unit to act like you're paying them to be like a top three unit. You need them to start producing in that way as well too.
Yeah, we never talk about the defense, Chris, because the offense has so much skill position talent, and RG3's out there saying the Eagles have the best roster in the NFL because clearly he's not looking at the defensive side. It seems to me they have basically come into the season or come into the offseason with a plan of we're going to have this great offense and Vic will figure it out on defense. Are they putting too much pressure on Vic Fangio?
Yeah, especially since you took away one of his best players, Hassan Reddick. Since he's gone now, you really put a lot of strain on that, and you're hoping to get a guy who hasn't done it to the amount of snaps that Reddick did in Bryce Huff to basically say, hey, welcome to the team. You got to be Hassan Reddick now, and it's still proven. I know he had a good year last year with 10 sacks, but you don't know that. Linebacker core, you have to make sure that N'Kobe stays healthy that whole entire time. You got Devin White. I think he's going to play better in the system, but you still be unsure because he lost his job out in Tampa Bay of all places. So I look at those factors, and I still have a lot of question marks. And I don't know how you get this pressure because I still see teams just going 1-2-3 dink and dunk and then death by 1,000 paper cuts, and I still have my worries about that.
Yeah, we have seen, as I like to describe it, Chris, we've seen the Vic Fangio cover band for the last 3 years. Now we're seeing the original act, okay? We're seeing the actual Rolling Stones here. When it comes to it,
sometimes the cover, Mark, is better than the original.
Yeah, sometimes.
Not with the Stones, but you had a better cover band for 2 years than last year's cover band, which is like a Jersey Shore cover band.
Exactly. Now I need to see John McMullen at the OD just having himself a good time. Anyway, Secret Service plan. When it comes to your expectations, though, overall, the grand scheme of things here with Vic Fangio and this defense, what are you expecting? Are you expecting strictly quarters and no blitzing and all that? But what are your overall expectations for Vic Fangio and what he's going to do as the original band of this scheme?
I think it's going to be one of the things I think you'll see more, maybe more pressures. But even then, I still think that that secondary, I have faith in the corners, but I just think teams can continually to miss that middle of that field. I think they're going to continually attack that field. And I wouldn't be surprised if the defense finishes somewhere in the 15, between like 12 and 15 range. And for them, they'll take that. But when you have the guys that you have, especially on that back seven, this team should be in top 10 no matter what. And you saw what happened at Super Bowl year. You have both units, both offense and defense, in that top 10. And you need to be that because we imagine this. Imagine right now, right, this defense going against the Lions. Do you feel comfortable with that? You imagine this defense right now going against the 49ers. You feel comfortable with that too?
Man. He just woke me up, Chris.
Stop taking the fun out of this offseason, Chris.
It's ugly, man. I just pictured an ugly scenario. Thank you.
So that's why you need that offense to outscore everybody. I just think right now, especially with the Lions getting better, I think maybe IU, that whole situation makes the 49ers take some step back. But I just look at the Lions right now and just go like, you know what? They have a lot of pieces, and can they match up well? So it's going to be, that game, if it ever comes down to it, I think it's going to have to be a shootout. You're going to need
that. Man, what about week one in Brazil? You got Jordan Love, and now Josh Jacobs is there. I don't get why they moved on from Aaron Jones, but whatever. They still got a good run. They got about 75 good receivers, young, and they're all young. It could start early and quickly and ugly for the Eagles if they don't figure out some things on the defensive side. But Howie got a little bit surly, Mark and I talked about early in the show, when he got asked about Hassan Reddick. I thought it was unfair. I thought it was a legitimate question. But I also understand his frustration because as a GM, I think a lot of people want to grade each of their moves individually. And it's a whole mosaic you try to put together. And I think Howie got a little bit frustrated with those saying Hassan Reddick is about only Hassan Reddick. It's about Bryce Huff. It's about Nolan Smith. It's about age. It's about money. Yada, yada, yada. Go on and on and on. Were you a little surprised that he got thrown off a little bit? Because he's had a lot of experience. He should be able to handle that a little bit better.
I felt a little terse when he came to the talking about that pick. I think it was a Dave's first question. Yeah. When he talked about that pick, I was like, okay, yeah, in a vacuum, but it really is because you do have to look at it because say if you kept him this year, I know you may not probably make one move or what have you, but say if you kept him this year, you still have a good rotation of guys edging out there, and then if he left, somebody's going to sign him to a big deal, so you probably get a comp pick, maybe even to the point where you're looking, maybe you get a top, it's one of those third-round compensation picks. So basically, to me, the way I look at it, it's like you basically traded for like 16, 17 slots higher than what you got for a potential comp pick just to get him back. And it's like, is that worth losing 27 sacks over two seasons? And to me, it's not. You really do need that guy. And hey, I'm hope I'm wrong that Bryce Huff all of a sudden plays that. I hope he plays a run better than what he has beforehand. And he goes, I don't have as much, I have many questions about Josh Sweat, but I hope Nolan Smith develops into that guy they think they got and they took the first round, because just based off what we saw this year, I know guys get better, but based on what I saw last year, I have questions. I'm reserving some things right now until I see.
Well, you should. Nobody should be counting on Nolan Smith. The hope is that, you know, maybe he gains a little bit of weight and he's got a year in an NFL weight room. Maybe he's better equipped. You got
maybe his shoulder works.
Procedure done on his shoulder. Hopefully that's fixed. And maybe it takes off. But yeah, I thought I got both sides of that. I thought Dave asked a legitimate question that should have been answered more thoughtfully. Yet I also get Howie's frustration because it's my own. I try to explain on this show every day. It's about more than one move. It's everything. And he used the term vacuum, which I always use. It's not in a vacuum. He's right. He's right. Yeah.
Anyway. When Howie said, I mean, we could talk about the complexities of this team and what goes into it. I'm like, isn't that why we're here? Isn't this why the press conference is happening?
Yeah, well, that's part. Yeah. It's your job to explain it.
Like, if you want to call a reporter on Bull, and look, the first thing I remember, my professor at Temple University was a guy named Bill Ordean. And he was at the Inquirer for years and all that, but Bill, you know, it's never about you. You don't have dialogue during a press conference. You simply ask questions. And that's something I always try to keep in mind. But if somebody was trying to make an issue of it, which Howie would, because Howie, there's an easy out for Howie. The question is that,
yeah, it is.
Yeah. The question is essentially, and I get why, this is where I understand Howie's point. It's like, you're asking me what the benefit is of trading a player. The benefit is the pick. We got the pick in return, so we feel like we can use that asset to make this team better. End of it.
And even that, I'll go, you know, and we got younger and we got more cost effective. You can go a bunch of different ways.
Sure.
I thought he was unfair to Dave, but I got his frustration was my point. He also gave an interesting question, Chris, which we haven't brought up, so I'll bring it up with you. He got asked about Jeremiah Trotter Jr., who, you know, because of his dad, there's a lot of Eagles fans who focused in on him very early. I don't know if he's worthy. I don't even know if he's a day two pick, to be honest, from a personal perspective. If he falls to 120, I'd say, yeah, maybe that's a nice little dart throw. But Howie gave a pretty involved answer on that one about players who may have a better understanding about what it takes to play in Philadelphia. Do you think he was just paying lip service to Jeremiah's dad and what he's meant to the Eagles? Or you think he really takes that into account when it comes to players that might have some better understanding of what it's like to play in Philadelphia?
I think you really do have to take it, because we all know when it comes to those draft reports they have, we say, okay, well, we know the physical attributes are there, but there's that mental side as well, too, when it comes to that pressure. You want to see how they do in those pressure situations, and you have to really do it in the city as well, too, because I know we're all going to be looking focused on it. We're all going to be in that locker room, and some guys have trouble handling that. So I think that was the key there. When I look at Trotter, I look at Trotter Jr., I think he still goes like in the third round. But I think by then the Eagles might either have Edrin Cooper or Peyton Wills by then. I've looked the way that they play. I really think they're getting a linebacker in that second round. I would love Cooper. The only thing is, I think he's rising a little bit, and he might go before 50.
Yeah, I think they're in no man's land with Cooper. They can't take him at 22, but I don't think he's getting to 50. Yeah.
So I think Wilson would probably be the guy that you look at. I think if you get either one of those two, it's fine. With Trotter, I like the way when he blitzes, but the thing is, you got a defensive coordinator who doesn't like to blitz that much. And I look at him in space a little bit more, and I have my questions about that. He got better as the season went on when he was eclipsing, but I have my questions if you get a one-on-one on the outside in space in that flat area or the hook-to-curl area, I got my questions on that. So he's, I think he's going to be a decent prospect. Do I think he'd be a good fit for the Eagles right now? I have questions.
Can I just ask real quick, Chris, where is this mythical linebacker who can match up with the Christian McCaffreys of the world or slot receivers and take them down the field? Because I constantly hear that. They don't exist. All right, that's the whole point on offense. You're trying to get matchups on these guys, isn't it? Like, yeah, what are we looking for here?
McCaffrey's a unicorn.
McCaffrey's
he's a unicorn. He's good luck with that. Like,
I hear to this day, Chris, TJ Edwards couldn't cover anybody. And you look at PFF, and he was top 10 coverage linebacker in the NFL. I mean, what are people looking at that they think there's all these great coverage linebackers? Like Devin White, because he can run. And as you mentioned with the blitzing aspect, okay, what is that? How does that help me? Vic's not blitzing. So what does that mean for Devin White? If you're not in the right position, I guess my question is man-to-man, what linebacker covers people?
Yeah, so a few of them, especially if you get the guy coming out the flat, like his response when it comes to that, depending on the coverage, but when you look at the guy coming out the flat, and you key on him, you got the guy who's coming out in the hook area, you got key on him. Man-to-man guys, there's not that many that are out there that can do it.
No.
I think there's one in the draft. I think Cooper can do it. Just not just for his physical attributes. I think when you look at the way he can get on the inside outside, that's why I really like him, especially because I think this team doesn't have that type of guy on there right now. Besides, and even White had his issues, even though he had like 60, I think he gave up a 65.4 or whatever quarterback rate, something 65, 70, one of those range there. So there are guys out there. I know teams put the safeties in there in a big nickel and they try to cover up that way. But when you have an opportunity like to get a Cooper who can do all that, you need to just fix it because they don't come around easily. I mean, Wilson, I put maybe toward that edge to be able to do that as well too. So when you have players without it does come down to athleticism. I think that's a key thing on there. But when you have an instinct and that knack in that field to say, hey, you know what, I can match up with that running back, which teams do a lot, I think you have that available. So that's why I think they really do need to use that number 50 or even package 50 in one of those fifth round picks to move up a couple slots to make sure to get to one of those guys.
Yeah, the only thing that jumped in my mind was if there's a offensive lineman that they really like, for whatever reason they can't get him, that's the only avenue I see the Eagles maybe trading out of the second round, trading back, or even trading back in the second round further to maybe get another second round pick and maybe take a guy like Edrin Cooper in that regard. If that happens, I think that'll be an awesome case for the Eagles and Eagles fans. I think they would love to see that. But when to flip it back to the offense for a second here and Jalen Hurts, looking at the receivers you have, the receivers you have locked up, bringing in obviously Saquon Barkley, is there more or less pressure on Jalen Hurts to perform this year? When you look at the year he could have with this offense, I think from a standpoint, it should be easier with these weapons, but also there's no excuses now for Jalen Hurts. I know you had 1 year of Brian Johnson where he had no experience of calling plays in the offense. So when you look at Jalen Hurts, more or less pressure for him going into this season?
I think it's more because I think everybody's just looking at the offense right now and just look at that too. There's more pressure and they're going to have to perform. And I look at his makeup and what we've seen so far, I think he can actually handle that. I think it's one of those things where we see a year where we see a Jalen Hurts that's back in the MVP conversation week 15, 16, 17, almost to the point we saw him back in 2022. I think he's in line to do that. And I think you're going to see the Jalen Hurts when it comes to being a vocal leader more and more. I know we see him in those locker room things. He talks, and he's the last guy to talk before he breaks him down, stuff like that and everything. But I think when it comes to him interacting more, I think we'll see that version of him as well too. So it'll be a leap from what we saw last year. I think it's going to be one of those things where I actually have a lot of confidence, even though he's going to have a lot more pressure. I think he'll come through this year. I really think when you look at everything that happens.
I think if you ask anybody this question, it's going to be a combination of everything. But of the three things that it can be a combination of, the leap that you mentioned, is it more so because Jalen Hurts figured it out? Is it more so because Kellen Moore is a great offensive coordinator? Is it more so that Howie Roseman is surrounded with a plethora of talent?
I think when it comes to I think it's more in the system. I think it's one of the things where it's going to be, when you look at it, there's going to be outs. I mean, how many times do we see they ran go routes all the time? There was no outlet for him to throw it, and he's just holding it down and scramble around, and then ball and throw away, or he's running around like for 6-7 yards, and you're like, what was this? Or the wide receiver screen, and like first and 10, like we know it's gonna be wide receiver screen or Bubble inside screen. Run. Which one was gonna be? So I look at that and I'm thinking, I think the scheme's gonna help him out even more. I think even if they
Helen Moore,
even if they didn't have some of these other, even if they have Saquon, I thought this was going to help out this offense a lot more as well too. When they had Saquon, that was just a cherry on top. Just go, you know what? All right, this could be.
By the way, if they still and let's be honest, they're still going to use the bubble screen because it's a staple in the modern NFL. Everybody uses it. It's not just the Eagles. Let's have Saquon run that and not the receivers. I said that last year with DeAndre Swift. You probably remember. I'm like, why? The whole point of the bubble screen is you got to make the first guy miss, right? Mm-hmm. You got to get a good block, and you got to make that first guy miss, and then maybe he makes something of it. Running backs are more equipped to do that than receivers. Why not? They should have used Swift that way. Why not use Saquon that way? That's an easy way to get him involved.
And even with this, especially where they always the tight quarters out there, you got a one little hole cut and go. Oh, I wonder what position's used to that. Worry about it, when it comes to that. But it was to me, it was just the predictability about the thing. Because if you maybe I should do a story on this, because you look at first downs the way they did every year, like every series you see, like first and 10, especially in the fourth quarter, try to slow them down. It was like a check. It's like, okay, either we're going to throw it outside to Devontae, throw it outside to AJ. Or throw outside or Quez when that one run a screen, or you know what? Let me turn around, hand the ball off to the other side, try to do something up the middle. And like, okay, it seemed like it was one of those two things. It got to the point where defense were just like, all right, we're gonna just walk up to the line, we're gonna play you up five yards from the line.
It's a stupid numbers game. It's all right, there's the extra guy, let's throw it outside, extension of the running game, yada yada yada. It's the ugliest play in football. I say that all the time. The most non-aesthetic play in football, but
thanks, Chip Kelly.
Chip's brought a lot of things. That's one of them. Number 22 overall. Did you get any further indications of where the Eagles might be leaning, or did Howie do his job and completely obfuscate everything?
I've been trying for a long, and I was really trying to glean every single little thing he was trying. I still know his team. Like every time he's like, you know what? I think I have this. And by design, I think that's where they want to be. But even then, still, I still have this weird feeling of trading back. Because I know they're going to treat that 53 like another third round pick, like a really high third round pick, because even a second. But I just, the fact that he won't be able to select anybody from then always before, something's up. I think
you trade back. I've said, Chris, I want Graham Barton, but I can't pick him at 22. But yeah, and by the way, I wouldn't be surprised if somebody else takes him earlier and he's not even there at 22. But from the Eagles' perspective, they're never going to take an interior offensive lineman that high. And yeah, people can go back to Danny Watkins, but come on, that's a different era already. Life moves fast. They don't do it now. But that, to me, one of the safest picks in the draft, day one starter, right guard, bang, go. You can play Sunday if you want. I love that pick, but you got to trade down to do it.
See, I think one of those tackles are still going to be there. And I'm looking at the Cardinals, the fact I keep messing his name up, I apologize. UCLA's Laetai Latu. I think that's what I say.
Well, to me, he's medical. I mean, tell me what Arsh Tanoda says, and I'll give you my opinion on Latu. He'd like to say, guess what? You can't take this kid. And the Eagles are like, oh. And then they'll get yelled at, like DK Metcalf. They get yelled at, oh, you're a bit pissed on DK. They red flagged him. I mean, the medical staff said could take him till the day three. So
I think the Cardinals are interested. I think the Cardinals are interested. And that's a team where you go, hey, remember how you tamper with us? Yeah, you owe us one. Give us a third round and go back.
By the way, the Eagles might. Hey, tampering's coming. There's a lot of talk that Atlanta will have to flip spots with Minnesota because Kirk Cousins admitted tampering in his opening press conference in Atlanta. And the Eagles could get hit with tampering this year because of
Chicago should get hit then, too. I think Chicago, the fact you have all those little details all sorted out with the contract with DeAndre Swift. just so happens, you know, I want this one in this specific number and this year and this year and this year.
That's not tampering. That's acceptable. That's acceptable tampering. What the Eagles did, and by the way, and I don't know if this is the case, but somebody down at the NovaCare complex told me there were a bunch of teams complaining about Vic in the Eagles because that was clearly tampering.
Yeah, that was tampering.
The NFL, more about the actual tampering. It's if you're too overt about it, they're going to make an example out of you. So just keep that in the back of your mind. There might be some tampering news coming down, guys.
Oh, you mean obvious, like, you know, you're having an end of the season press conference and it breaks that Vic Fangio is coming to Philadelphia? I mean, obvious like that?
Pretty overt, as I said.
That wasn't exactly Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie's smoothest moment. Yeah. I think clearly there, and I think you look at a lot of the situations. I mean, Saquon Barkley, after legal tampering, and then boom, all of a sudden he's allowed. James Franklin. James, out that yeah, whole situation, yeah. Of course,
thanks, or Miss Red Franklin, yeah,
right. You know, obviously Chris's cousin.
Obviously, didn't go to Temple, Mark. I forgot to mention Temple when you brought up Matt Hennessy.
Hell yeah, baby. Hell yeah. Yeah. But yeah, so you look at all that. But when it comes to the offensive line, we're used to having a lot of depth at that position, Chris. And if they don't trade back, are you leaning in the direction of this team? To get back to John's question, in terms of leaning one way or another. Is conventional wisdom going to play out here where they don't trade back and they do take that offensive lineman in the first round? Do you think that's the most likely scenario to play out?
We're going to have to hear. I think we're going to be writing the story and eating our vegetables about, hey, it's an offensive line. We need this one. All right. You've seen this before. Hammond seems Hammond. Yeah. I
love that. Eating your vegetables. That's a great way to put it. And no dip. When it's an offensive lineman for depth, there's no dip with those vegetables.
How come those teams up in 10-11 getting ice cream and they're getting Brock Bowers? No, you have to eat, you know, get spinach and Tyler Guyton to Mary Smith.
You're right. And then 3 years when they turned into Landon Dickerson, everybody's happy.
Yeah. Oh, it's perfect. Everything's great. No, you got to do it. Yeah, so I think we're headed to that. I wouldn't be surprised if they did like a guy like Zinter or something like that later on in the draft too. I think he's another guy that's really good, a guy who's really fit them as well too. Maybe be that guard guy that can really compete with like Steen and coming into the next year. So I can see – I'm thinking a couple guys. They really need to rebuild
offensive it. Line draft. So I'll leave it there. That'll at C Franklin News. Make sure you follow Chris, obviously, friend of the show, does a tremendous job. NJ.com.
Thank you.
You're right in the fact that you can get really, really competent offensive linemen a little bit later, and maybe they can compete. You throw them out there. You bring up Zach Zinner and say, hey, go compete with Tyler Steen, and maybe you have something. Iron sharpens iron. Throw all the cliches out there you want, and maybe you fix it that way. And you're able to go corner early in the draft. Here's my concern about corner, Chris. This is Vic Fangio's defense, man. It's like communication. I don't want any young corner out there. We saw young corners playing last year. It ain't good. There's blown coverages all over the place. Am I the only one in Philadelphia that wants to see James Bradbury with Vic Fangio? Because I think he's going to have a bounce back year because he's so smart. Vic's going to use him right. He was never about athleticism to begin with. He's not a speed guy. He's a pure zone coverage corner. Whereas if you bring in even Terrion Arnold, who visited with the Eagles yesterday, and Cool it, all these great athletes, Quinion Mitchell, for some reason, he's not going to fall. But if he does, they're going to make a lot of mistakes in coverage in this defensive scheme, at least early. Now, you might get through it, and they might turn into superstars, and that's what you're weighing. Any concerns over the complicated nature of this defense with a young first-round corner?
A lot. There's a lot for any defensive back because everybody has to be on that same page. And seeing a couple old Vic playbooks, it's pretty intense. Ugh. It's pretty like looking around like, okay, you got to go, okay, there's a motion. And all of a sudden you got that communication you're doing this way. And you're like, especially coming in the league, like if you're used to playing like Bamwer, it's like, okay, man, cover, not that many different variations. It can be a lot. So I would say there's going to be a good few corners, no matter where you're picking. So if you hold off till next year and try to do that, maybe if you get that. I just think right now, if you try to force somebody in here, like say Cooper DeJean or Cooley McKinstry or somebody like that, for it's going to be tough. I think Bradbury's going to actually have a bounce back year. 2021, before he was with the Giants, had one of his worst seasons statistically. Actually, you know, he's an all-pro guy, too. And as much as Vic likes to use that cover six, where I think Bradbury's a better zone guy as well, too, you go like at a quarter half, I think he can excel in that. So with Vic leading it, as opposed to, say, decide, I think that's, as opposed to decide. So for 1 year, you ride it out. You still have a lot of other depth pieces, like Eli Ricks. You still got
– already have a lot of good young
Keely Ringo, too. So, yeah, you got that stuff. Yeah. So, yeah, I think you can roll with them, and then you can always go out and sign some people as well, too, like after June 1st. So I think there's a lot. Hey, these OTAs are going to be big, put it that way.
I agree. Chris, last question for me. Sixers or Heat tonight? Who do you got?
Well, Sixers. Sixers, right. And they go to the – I go to the Eastern Conference Finals this year. I really think
– Oh!
I'm calling it Eastern Conference Finals.
Jimmy.
Wait, hold on. Who's they're not losing to Celtics?
Celtics. The Celtics are beating them in the Eastern Conference. I think Celtics are going to,
we know.
To the finals.
I've seen this movie. They've avoided the Celtics, right? So until the
finals. If they win tonight, they do. If they're an eight seed.
Oh, no, if they're the eighth, they have to win tonight. And by the way, playoff Jimmy Butler, there's no guarantee that's going to be a win tonight.
Well, playoff Jimmy lost last year, first play-in game, and then won the second.
Yes.
And then they went
to the finals. Went to the Eastern, they went to the NBA finals,
NBA finals, excuse me, yeah.
It's a better rotation with the Sixers, too. It's like it's a little bit deeper than last year, and you don't have Doc Rivers coaching them, too, so that helps out, too. That's a plus.
Tell me if the big guy's going to play every day. If it's going to be one of those situations, even if they win the play-in game, is he going to play game one and not play game two? And, you know, if he's out there, they'll make a run.
He'll be every day. He'll be an everyday guy. Like he did this with 21, 22. Yeah, he'll be an everyday guy. He'll be good.
The Celtics are the bane of the Sixers' existence and will continue to be.
Is this 1980s again? Huh?
Yeah. Is this the feels 80s like 70s? It. Feels like it. Feels like it.
No, because in 1980 was a good rivalry.
Yeah, they won.
Now the Celtics just beat them like a drum.
Sixers won occasionally in that one. Hey, who knows? Maybe this is their 80 year. Maybe this is their 1983 year or whatever.
82, 83. It's
they
been
owe us
a while.
One for sure. That's for sure. They owe us one. They do owe us one.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Chris, thanks so much, brother. Great catch up with you, man. Make sure you guys are reading all Chris has to offer there, of course, on NJ.com. Chris, thanks so much.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one now.
Thanks, bud.
You as well. Chris Franklin joining us. All right, coming up. John, I did need to ask you, in honor of Howie Roseman's snippiness, when we put a bow on the show here coming up in a second, you ever got into it with a subject in a press conference? And how did you respond? I want to ask you that question coming up in a few here on Birds 365.